Grammar Girl here. Today's topic is ain't and a few other troublesome contractions. To quote the famous opening lines of the first ever talking picture, The Jazz Singer, wait a minute, you ain't heard nothing yet. You may have been chided, or at least corrected, for using this slang contraction. But do you know how ain't came to be, and when it's okay to use it? You'll recall that when two words are pushed together, and at least one letter is removed and replaced by an apostrophe, a contraction is formed. You would or you had becomes you'd. You'd love this carrot cake, Bunny. Or you'd better stand up now, Neil. She is or she has becomes she's. She's very happy for you, Joy. Or she's been walking all over you, Matt. The Random House Dictionary points out that although ain't is considered improper or slang, it actually arose as an alternative to two other contractions, one clunky and one just plain wrong grammatically. Let's assume someone says, I'm doing all right, ain't I? Well, what is ain't I replacing? It might be, am I not? I'm doing all right, am I not? That's correct, but a little awkward, and in today's casual conversation, perhaps unduly proper. Flip that around and shorten it into a contraction, and it's even clunkier. I'm doing all right, am'n't I? A worse alternative is aren't I? That suggests the construction, I are doing all right, aren't I? Random House, in its usage section, offers a better option. I'm doing all right, isn't that so? Simpler yet, try this. Am I doing all right? And remember, all right is two words, all with two L's, and right, R-I-G-H-T. Ain't is not used exclusively in the first person singular, of course. Let's conjugate it. I ain't, you ain't, he, she, or it ain't, we ain't, you ain't, they ain't. Wow, that's really versatile. It's a shame it's usually not acceptable, ain't it? Ooh, I'm cringing. About the only times ain't is acceptable are in dialogue, or when you want to convey a colloquial tone. For example, in the very first example I gave you from The Jazz Singer, you ain't heard nothing yet. Ain't gives an earthy tone to the title character, Jakey Rabinowitz. In the movie The Wizard of Oz, the Cowardly Lion says, ain't it the truth, ain't it the truth. Here, ain't is used for comedic effect. In grade school, one might have heard a smart-alecky classmate say, I ain't gonna use ain't anymore, cause ain't in the dictionary. Well, actually it is, but you need to be very careful about how you use it. Maybe the best remembered ain't was part of a misquote. In the wake of the 1919 Black Sox scandal, in which members of the Chicago White Sox helped throw the World Series, Shoeless Joe Jackson left the courthouse and a young fan asked, it ain't true, is it, Joe? A newspaper reporter apparently juiced it up a bit, and Say It Ain't So, Joe, became part of sports lore, even finding its way into last year's vice presidential debate. As with many coinages, the rule here is one of context. In business, scholarly, and other formal writings, omit ain't unless it's used in direct quotation, and never go around saying it in general conversation unless it's part of a joke or a well-known saying. In dialogue, or to convey a vernacular tone in prose, use it with discretion. Treat it like spicy mustard. Don't make a whole sandwich from it. Let's take a look at what's happened to the constructions would have, could have, and should have. People have heard the perfectly correct could've, that's spelled C-O-U-L-D apostrophe V-E, and heard it as could've, spelled C-O-U-L-D space O-F. There's the helping verb could, but then if you spell it could've, it has no main verb to help, so in theory it's helping a preposition, of. But it doesn't work that way. It's could have. In previous episodes, we've talked about how language evolves and how some stricter constructions have become tacitly acceptable through widespread use. Well, not for this one. It's a hard and fast rule. To keep decent English alive, make a little extra effort and enunciate would have, could have, should have. Well, you might say I meant to improve my diction. Yeah, yeah, woulda, coulda, shoulda. Now, let's imagine that someone tells you something that makes no difference to you. Glenn and Dale say they won't be joining us on our trip to the valley. To express your absolute indifference, you reply, I could care less. Oops, actually you couldn't care. You could not care less. You're at zero on the care-o-meter, and there are no negative numbers on that scale. If you say you could care less, you're saying implicitly that you do care, even if it's just a little bit, a tad, a jot, an iota, dare we say a smidge. In the cases of could've and I could care less, remember the old standby. Think about the meaning of what you're saying. If a construction really doesn't make sense, it's probably not what you meant to convey. This podcast was written by Rob Rinalda, executive editor for Reagan Communications, and WordZar on Twitter. That's word_CZAR. And I'm Mignon Fogarty, the author of the Grammar Devotional. Also, we just released a Grammar Girl iPhone app, which you can get at iTunes. If you have the app, this week you'll get a bonus audio tip about when to capitalize cocktail names and an image of a sign gone horribly wrong. And you get free bonus tips like that every week when you buy the app for $1.99 at iTunes. And it also helps support the show, so thanks. That's all. Thanks for listening.